Welcome to episode 4 of the Change of Plans podcast. I am Joe Aguirre. He is Vin Provenzano. And Vin, you know, you just started putting out some teaser clips.
I did.
On this podcast. We haven't actually released an episode as of right this minute, but this is now 4 in the bank. We're about to start dropping these here episodes. And I got to tell you, for a guy who has never done this before, you are fantastic. You really are.
I'm just stealing your shine. When we just had that conversation, you know, while we were off the air, like, hey, do you want to take the wheel? Nah, I keep it on Joey's side. I'm a passenger, but you make it easy, but it's fun, man. We're getting a good reaction from it, throwing it up on my Instagram, my Facebook. And, you know, we've had that discussion, like the imposter syndrome, should I even be doing this shit? Like, how are people going to want to listen to us and all that? And I'm telling you, man, we're getting some killer vibes. I'm stoked to see what people are going to think about the full episodes. But yeah, it's been a good reaction, which is good because the alternative is just like, fuck, right? Like, they're like, you know, the only person who likes it is your mom, you know, and she has to.
This is the 53rd podcast that I have launched.
Jesus, dude.
And the response I've gotten in the last couple days on this one, and you and I know a lot of the same people, so yep. You and I have a lot of mutual friends anyway. People are like eating this thing up.
So. I'm telling you, it's gonna be dope. It's gonna be fresh. I think it's something that's it's a little bit different than what's out there, especially when like you get the attorneys and they get the law podcast and all that happy horse shit, which works for them. You know, I think from us, I think we got a good vibe together. I know for me anyways, I'm just glad we're getting a good response. You know, you get that inner critic that's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, or did I talk too much, or do I look fat? So that's always a big one in my fucking head. Like, Jesus, dude, like, is that really me on the camera? But yeah, the response is great, dude. I think it's going to go well.
Has anybody pointed out, because the clip I saw today, on the video portion of it, as what I'm referring to here for people who might be listening just to the audio, your name came up as the man, the myth, the legend. Has anybody noticed that yet?
Dude, I didn't even notice it. Like, I had no clue. I'm gonna have to watch a video. I'm such a tool. I'm such a tool, dude. Like, are you fair, for real? I'm checking this out.
you did say, man, I really wish I hadn't put that on there.
Yeah, dude. What a jabron. Is that you for real?
It's great because I'm telling you, it's funny when you watch the clip and you listen with the music and it says the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, that is looking at it, and you're like, hilarious.
This dude kinda is all three of those things. Dude,
that is hilarious, man. That is fucking great. That is I really didn't, and I spent like a ton of time. Like, I'm not good with that editing stuff. So like, you know, it was just a lot of bathroom sessions where I'm just taking shits, and it just, my wife's like, can you get off the pod? I'm like, I'm editing a reel. That's where I do my best work. You know, I'm taking a shit. Yeah, so now everyone knows when you see my highlight reel, that's where my
visual.
The man behind the camera. That is a good thing, dude. So how was your week? We haven't spoke since last week.
Yeah. Oh man, I got so much stuff going on, like in a really good way. Just overwhelming. I've been doing a morning radio show. And so of course that requires getting up at 4:20 in the morning. And by the evening time, I'm a little shot. I'm a little shot from all that. But here's the thing, Vin. And I consider myself very fortunate for this because I work hard and I do a lot of work, but I don't really work hard. It's not like hard work. What I do, it's more like taxing than like, it's not physical.
It's like an endurance run, right? Like, you're not hitting that speed pace, but it just takes forever.
Yeah. A lot of producing, a lot of talking, a lot of performing.
Do you ever find like when you come home and you're like, you just don't want to talk? Like, you're just like, you know, I got to put myself in timeout for a little bit.
Yeah. When I drive home, absolute silence.
Silence.
There's no sound.
Yes.
Radio's off, and I'm just, it's quiet.
I the older I get, the more I do that. right? Like that's just like, I get my car and I'm just so excited to hear nothing. Like 20 zero.
Minutes. For 20 minutes, I'm not going to hear anything. I like that. It's like that a lot. Sometimes you need it, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need it.
Sometimes you just fake the phone call in the driveway. You're like, you know, 1 minute, you're just silent. You're not even on the phone. You're just
You know, I've had other moments where I'm in my car and I'm listening to a really good song, like you said, kind of pull into the garage, and then another one comes on, and I'm like, I'm gonna sit here for a minute. You know, like 4 or 5 songs in, I'm like, you know, I turned the car off. I got the battery running, you know?
You know, your wife's checking for a garden hose in your window. What's this guy doing?
What are you doing in there?
What is going on? And then, like, if you're like, how was your day? And you're like, I have no idea how my day went. Like, I don't, you know, like, we don't have those jobs where it's just like we went and built like a bridge, right? Like there's no like final product, right? Like you just get through the day. Like you're just trying to get to the fucking dinner table at the end of the day. And you're like,
yeah,
did I accomplish anything? Like, what the fuck did I accomplish? Am I accomplishing like anything? Right. Like, or is it like, hey, did I work hard enough? Right. Like you just pulled a 12-hour day, but maybe I should have hit that 13th hour. And it's just the constant, is it enough? Is it enough? And it's because you don't get that final, like, here it is. This is what I built. I finished. Like, our days are never finished.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
not for nothing. The most accomplished thing I'll do is edit 2 podcasts, right? Yeah. Might take me 5 hours. And it's like, if I say to my wife, I edited 2 podcasts today, it doesn't sound like I did anything, does it?
You know what I mean? No. I mean, it's just like, well, I mean, dude, I posted 17 TikTok videos in a half hour, bro. I'm an edit king. Your kids looking at you like, why does it take so long? Look at all these things I just did. That's hilarious. Yeah.
And you know, also because I do work at a radio station. And as you could imagine, there's marijuana there. It's legal.
I am shocked.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's from a guy who gets up at 4:20 in the morning, I am shocked.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for picking up on that.
Listen,
could have gone
a little slow to the game, but
could have gone 4:15. Could have gone 4:30. Didn't.
Nah. That's why my temperatures in my car is set at 69. You know, like. Everything, volume on the TV, you can't hear anything in the house, it's 69, thermostat, 69, you know, and it's, I got the kid involved in that, so it's hilarious, it's a good time.
You know, that's the other thing, that's, I think, another one of those things, Vin, you know, like, we all kind of do weird, quirky shit.
Yep. What's your core, what's the weird, like, daily thing you do?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you brought it up. I'm going to hear it, dude. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably a lot. No, now I forgot what I was. I forgot where my. Oh, no. Right. So because I work an easy job, so to speak, that's what my wife calls it. You work an easy job, you know. You go on the radio and you just talk.
Yeah, it's I'm finding it's not so easy. So I might have a conversation with her. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, all right. So to the point I was going to make was, you know, we all do, like, yeah, again, setting the thermostat to 69. Everybody does that. We don't really talk about it. Everybody kind of thinks like that's their own stupid thing. And it's like, I laughed because, like, yeah. 69. Yeah. It's hilarious.
And you laugh to yourself. It's just like, huh. And you know your wife is walking by side-eyeing that shit. Like, it's not funny.
We live in a society where things that we do that we don't think other people are also doing, we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And then when you do it, you know, other people are like, oh yeah, I do that too. And like, oh my God, you know, of course everybody does that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's why,
We all pretend we're super mature and we're all idiots.
Well, it's just like it's weird. I don't know what age you get to where it's like it's not supposed to be funny. Right. Like where like the fun police came out and was like, you're in fun jail after like 35. I think it's really like, I think it's 40 though. Right. I think that's the fucking, you're no longer able to have fun age. Like 30, 31, 32, cool. 35, you're getting there, but you still could get in that club and act a little fucking crazy and get away with it. But it's 40 comes around and it's like, you know, grow up, you know, like evolve. That's the fucking line. I will tell you that I've been told, you know, one of the reasons why I got left to the streets was I didn't evolve as a person. Like that is fucking wild, right? Like wow. I was like a caveman and then all of a sudden I fucking boom, I'm a human being. But I think it's that age, right? But like the reality is it's okay to have some fun. Like it's okay to like laugh. And like you said, we all laugh at the same shit, right? Yeah. It's just, it's always that first guy at the party that has to be the one that says something stupid and laughs about it. And it's always me, Joe, by the way. Like it's 1,000%. It's never going to be someone fucking else. There's never going to be someone at a party that's going to be like, I'm going to crack the fucking ice before I do. But yeah, man, it's okay. It comes with age, I guess, but I'm Peter Pan, bro. It's never going to fucking happen, dude.
Let me get your thoughts on one other thing. I have a 20-year-old daughter. I have a bunch of kids, but I have a 20-year-old daughter. I think
you know
think,
how many you have because like you're sketchy on the cat and dog counts. So yeah. I just want to make sure honed in on the kid count, right?
There's a lot of people here. I'll just say that. So I said to my 20-year-old daughter the other day, because she's 20, graduated high school 2 years ago. She works at a grocery store. You know, she's dating somebody that also works there. You know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, you lost some time because of COVID.
Yep.
You know, you're a couple years behind. Everybody kind of does that and then gets their act together. And I said to her, listen, and this is what I'm curious to get your take on. I remember when I was like 10, 11, 12. And looking at my parents in their late 30s and into their 40s and thinking, these people got their shit together. These people are smart and rational human beings, right? And they're in charge of me. And now I'm 48. And I said to my daughter, I think you might be thinking at 20 now that in the next few years, something's going to happen. You're going to gain wisdom.
Yeah.
And you just have happen. Everything figured out because you're an adult. And she kind of looked at me like, yeah, right. And I was like, that doesn't happen. The same voice in my head from when I was 10, 11, 12, it's the same voice. Yeah. It knows more, but it's got the same, it still laughs at the same stupid shit. It still finds the same thing.
You're still.
You're you forever. Like, I wonder if young people truly grasp that with age, there's not some stroke of wisdom where you're suddenly mature and smart. That's something you really do have to develop, or you don't.
Oh, I think they have no clue. I think they have no concept of, okay, I'm just waiting to hit the magical age and then I'm going to have this shit figured out. Right.
Right.
But it's a different generation where they have all the information at their fingertips. So it's not that hard to figure out. So they're just, you know, whatever. I'm just going to, it's like being a, you know, you're in the NBA, you're like, I'm going to take a couple nights off, but I'll flick the switch and boom, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to go win a chip. And that's just not the way it is. But to another point you said is that I always tell my clients, especially the ones going through a divorce, you know, they're like, I can't believe this guy's doing it this way, right? Like he's been doing this for 20 years and he said he was going to change. And then, you know, he's good for 2 weeks and he's back doing the shit. I'm like, well, what did you expect? Right? Like, I'm not changing me. I've been me for 44 years, right? So there's things that we can change about ourselves, but the reality is you're always going to be you, right? Like your spouse or your ex-spouse is always going to be them. Like whether they're 25 or 44, it's just the same person with less fucking hair. Now, what you try to tell people is it's not, you're not changing who you are, but how you adjust to your environment. That's what changes. It's not, you're not changing your person. It's you're changing your ability to pivot and adjust in situations is much different because of your life experience. So, you know, for me, how I am here may be a little bit different than I am in a courtroom, maybe different than I am in a boardroom or negotiating a contract. I'm still the same me, but I'm able to maneuver given my life experiences. But I mean, these kids have no concept, like zero. I had my, Jess was sitting on the couch maybe like 2 days ago when he has to fill out all these like questionnaires for college, right? Like it's heavy fucking lifting, dude. You're sitting there watching TV, fucking clicking buttons. You're not filling shit out by fucking hand. You know, and he's like, I'm not going to go to college. I'm just going to go fishing with my dog in Montana. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Except for like, how are you going to pay for it? I'm going to live off the land. And I'm like, now you're crazy. Wow. Like now it's, I'm like, not a problem, dude. Go get a job at AutoZone. And hey, if that's what you want to do, cool beans. But what I tell them is I was like, yeah, you can make 18 bucks an hour now. But if you're fucking 60 making 18 bucks an hour, it's not as cool as you were when you were 17.
Yeah.
You know, but I just laugh. I don't get mad about it because they have no concept of what life is. But that's what I also worry about with this generation is that they see all of this. They live through the social media stuff, right? Like, they see all of this and then they got to go out in the real world when they're 18 and going to college. And there's no transition year. There's no transition program. There's no manual on how to go live on your own. They're just, it's literally the scariest thing. It's almost like throwing an infant into a pool, right? For the swim class. You ever see that shit, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of psycho parent are you to let some dude just heave your baby into a pool and they're like, don't worry, they're gonna roll on the back and figure it out. Like, what the fuck if it doesn't? Like, but that's what you're doing with an 18-year-old. You're like, just, hey, by the way,
based on percentages, by the way, that is bound to fail here and there.
Like it's insane. Like if I was a kid and I was like, my mom's like, hey, watch this video when you learn to swim. And I watch my mom just to whip myself into a fucking pool. I'm going to lose my shit. Like you try to kill me. Like that's like, if that's not like risk of injury, right? Like if you're not calling DCF, like if you're not driving by a park and you like look out and you're at a stoplight listening to T-Swizzle, you know, just rushing life, and you just see some dude chuck a baby in a pool and you're not calling the cops, you should be arrested as well.
If you have that video, what's the statute of limitations on bringing charges?
I don't know, but I might just start like a blackmail business, right? Just be like, by the way, but that's what you're doing with an 18-year-old, right? You're like, here, go to this big, beautiful school where there's, you know, there's dudes with muscles, chicks with no clothes on. You've been stuck in this high school and go live on a campus and good luck, like figure fucking life out. Like it's insane if you think about it in that way, right? There's no, you don't have to get 1,000 hours of work in before you go to college, right? Like you're an electrician. You got to work like 3 decades before you get your license. It's like 40,000 hours of work. Like college, you're like, fuck it, here's $75,000 a year. We're gonna pay for this year-long vacation, and let's hope you don't fucking die. Like that's it. So it's just it's a bit crazy. It's and it's all new for me, so I'm bobbing and weaving. But yeah, man, it's wild just to think about it. Just crazy.
Yeah. My goodness, I think about when I was in college now, which is like a million years ago. And, you know, a lot of people year one to year two didn't make it. Like the it was weird, and, yeah. and like you know, it was weird too. The people who it was, because it wasn't always people who you expected who just for whatever reason couldn't hack it. You know, the big city lights, but yeah. So this episode, you got some thoughts and strategies here.
I did, right? So like I was like, all right, we're gonna talk about this shit, right? Like, but then it never goes that way right away. Oh. And then I got thrown off by the fucking babies in the pool. So like, my shit's kind of fucked up right now. I can't get this shit. Like the baby tossing is like cornhole with babies in a pool, right? Like a weird beer game people are playing with their kids. And they're like, well, you know what? I'm going to have someone else do it. So if something happens, I'm not a fucking bad parent. But it's really bad. So no, I was thinking, so me and my wife were talking the other night and, you know, I'm like stomping around the fucking house. And I'm like, man, you know, all I do is solve people's problems, right? Like, that's all I do all day. Like, you know, why doesn't people help solve my problems? Like, you know, so then it's like the pity party, right? Then it's like, and then my wife's like, well, what problems do you have? And then I'm like, huh, touche. I really don't have any. Then I'm like, okay, well, I'm fat, right? I got some body dysmorphia issues. And, you know, what she said, she's like, well, at least you have a problem. Like, that's not very encouraging. Like, you should have said, no, you're not fat, honey. But no, what I got was, oh, at least you found your problem. So so it got me thinking.
I love that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, anyway, she was a straight face. And then like two minutes later, I swear on my life, she's like, by the way, what would you do if I left you? I'm like, so like right after you just said, I might have a fat problem. I mean, she's not leaving me, by the way. She can't. Can't like kid likes me too much. I fucking locked that down. You know, fucking way. But it got me thinking, right? So I think one of the things in my house is that my wife is like hardcore against, and it's one of the things that she talks to her son about a lot is that negative self-talk, right? Like the, you know, kids now, and I think most adults do it. It's, you know, you're trying to, you know, some people take it as, well, I'm motivating myself. If I tell myself I suck, right? Like, or I'm fat or I'm not smart enough, that's going to make you work harder, right? Like that you're going to want to go help yourself more. And it just, and my wife has a great take on it, because from her end, that's not motivating you, right? We had this discussion the other night was you've never wanted to help someone you hated, right? Like, yeah. You know, you never went out there and there's like, oh, I fucking hate Bobby, but I'm going to go help him out tonight. But like, if you think about it, if you're hating on yourself so much, like what makes you want to go help yourself? Right. It's that like, if you can't be compassionate to somebody or yourself, you can't be compassionate to somebody else. And I think that's what we fall into. It goes into the New Year's resolutions, right? It's not, you didn't fail because your resolution was too hard, right? Like that's not why you failed. It's okay. I did things for 4 days in a row. And then on the fifth day, like I missed it. And then all of a sudden I was like, see, I'm a failure. I can't do anything right. Right. I can't even get through 5 days. You're comparing yourself to someone who's been doing it for 2 months. And you're like, well, why can't I be more like them? And that doesn't encourage you. That just says, you know what? I want to protect myself from failing more. I'm going to remind myself that I've already failed once. So now I'm going to stop doing it. Right. And then all of a sudden, 60% of the resolutions are done within 3 weeks. Right. Like, and I think, so that got me thinking, like, you know, I think it's very true in my life. You know, as much as I know I should be eternally grateful for the life I have, but I am the biggest self-critic like ever, like you'll ever meet. Right. Like people are like, okay, Vin's outgoing. He's always, you know, the life of the party, but I'm the most insecure in certain situations, but you would never know it. But in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm not a good enough lawyer. Like that guy's smarter than me. You know, I shouldn't be a life coach because I don't know what this person knows and those sort of things. So what I've been trying to learn to do is switch the thought process, right? Instead of a resolution, it's a resolution. right? So you're trying to find, you're trying to find a new solution to the problem. And one of the things that my wife had gave me as an idea of, instead of saying, hey, you know, I'm lazy, right? Just say, I'm feeling lazy, right? Acknowledge the feeling. Because then once you acknowledge the feeling, and then you could have that conversation with yourself, okay, I'm feeling this way. Why am I feeling this way? Right. And then you become aware of why you're feeling this way. And once you're aware of it, then you could take action to change it. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, for me, I thought that, like, in a society, and I think in general, you know, we have to start changing how we're dealing with our self-critic, and being self-critical is not a bad thing. But I think it's how we perceive that critical, like, conversation with ourselves, because it's not, we're just doing it to protect ourselves, right? No one wants to fail, right? No one wants to go out on a limb, try something new, have this resolution, resolution, and fail. So it's easier to say, you know what? I'm just not going to do it for whatever reason, or just, hey, I've always been lazy, so I'm just going to keep being me and keep being lazy, because the alternative is being comfortable with the unknown, right? Like, but you're more comfortable with just where you're at. And I think that's a conversation I think people need to start having with themselves. You know, some people will say, hey, give a name to your critic, your own critic. I don't know if you need to do that. That's really not my cup of tea. You know, I'm not going to be like, oh, here comes fucking Johnny walking down the street. I'm going to be critical of myself now. But I could, I now am aware when I'm doing it, and I try to flip it to the feeling aspect and not, I am lazy. It's, I feel lazy because, and I think that's, you know, that, so that's kind of where I wanted to go with today, if that makes any sense to you. You know, and I don't know if that pertains to your life or not, but I know in my profession, like being a lawyer, it's every day. Like I've never met a lawyer that I sat down and was like, hey, how's your day going? They're like, dude, I'm having the greatest day in the world. Like, we're just perpetually miserable. Like, and I think it's like literally a profession where everyone just one ups, like, oh, you think your day is shitty? Check this out. Like, my life is real shitty. And it's almost like a badge of honor, right? Like, it's, you know, I'm tired. I work too much. I'm not getting paid enough. And I can tell you, like, I made a conscious effort Monday and today to be more positive in court when talking to other attorneys. And they look at me like I got, you know, like an eyeball on my forehead. But I tell you, like, if, because I was feeling that sort of way about myself, I think I projected it out to people, which it was like, it changed the conversation. It changed the energy in the room with that particular individual, right? Because if you're sitting there saying, well, I got a long day, right? You wake up in the morning, you're in the shower. I got a long day. I don't know if I can get through this day. You know, I got a million things on the calendar. I got to deal with this attorney. Am I going to make pay? Like, all of this stuff. Then all of a sudden you're living that truth, right? You're living that, your speak has now become your life, instead of saying, you know what? I'm fortunate to be busy. I'm fortunate to have to go work with these people, and trying to flip the script. It's the same thought, just how you're perceiving it. And for me, I find that if I could set the tone early and be conscious about it, it really sets the tone for the rest of my day. I mean, and it's the same thing with, like, sitting in the car in the quiet, right? Like, that's my reset. That's the purpose of it. Like, we're resetting, right? We're in touch with how we're feeling, right? And we're able to reset our consciousness to say, okay, now we're out of the noise. Let me reset my brain a little bit, and then get ready for a new environment and a new chaos, which is going to be your house. So that's kind of where I was going with it this week. You know, just, it was just something that I was really focused on over the weekend. And I thought it was, like, something that, you know, would be useful. I don't know your thoughts.
So I like it. You know, it's funny. I almost, as I was sort of reflecting on what you were saying, I was thinking to myself, I don't ever really have any self-doubting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because I don't have time, or if I'm a sociopath, or I don't know. But as I was thinking on that, I'm like, wow, I don't really ever beat myself up over things. I have a real, like a water off a duck's back, whatever, you know.
But where do you think you got that from, right? Because like for me, because like I know, like as a kid, I love my parents. You know, they did a hell of a job raising me, but a ton of critical shit in my house, right? Like, got to do this, got to do that. You didn't do it good enough. You're not working hard enough. You know, a lot of that, a lot of toxicity in my house. And I think that's what, like, for me anyways, that's where it comes from. So, you know, I'm a confident dude, but I have this like false bravado, right? Like where, I'm going to make it in any situation because I'm in survival mode all the time. Like it's 100%, but it comes back from my childhood where I had to survive. Like I needed that because it was at times never good enough, like what I was doing. So that's where I get it from. But where do you get the ability? I mean, not so much to roll off your backs. It sounds like you could take anything and you just like shrug it off. But like for me, I don't care what people say now. Like you could say this show is shit or Vin's the world's worst attorney. I'm not blinking an eye, but I think I'm my toughest critic. And that's what I struggle with is being, it's not the third party voice. It's my inner voice.
My mother, who we could spend 10 episodes analyzing this crazy person. My mother, like, I mean, my sense of self-esteem was very high. Because my mother assured me at all times I was awesome. And I was like the kid in my family. I have siblings, but I was like the standout, you know, sports, yeah. School. Yeah. I mean, I was like the most requested altar boy. I used to do all the funerals and weddings and get cash for it, you know. Always the leader in the neighborhood when the kids were out there being, I mean, whatever we were doing. It was just always the way. I've just always kind of had that. And I want to say probably in my early 20s, probably had a little bit of, you know, self-doubt getting into this business. College didn't end well for me. Didn't end well. lot of problems on the way out. And I found myself like I had to grow up a little bit. It's funny too, you know, remember a couple years ago when people were like white privilege?
Yep.
I was like, oh, I know exactly what they're talking about. Like 1,000,000%. Because
it was me.
Yeah, dude, I got into so much trouble. And everywhere I went, people were like, you seem like a really good kid. And it's like, because I'm white, right? I mean, you're just saying that because I'm a white dude. There's nothing else would tell you after what I just did. You think I'm a good person? You out of your mind? So I always knew I was getting that. And I have always enjoyed a privilege in life. And I'm not, I don't come from a wealthy background by any means. It's just the way... Also, I have a nice face. I have pretty eyes.
Yo, dude, the whole, I think my oven just went off because I got to get the humble pie out the oven. Hold on. Good Lord, dude. Let's go.
I'm trying to analyze. And look, I got to stay.
I mean, but you're analyzing is just like you're just realizing how great you are. Like I've never seen like the more someone talks, they're like, you know what? I got fucking a great face and these eyes, bro. Are you seeing these eyes? Like I need to call your mom, dude. I gotta get some of that vibe fucking going on. That is great, but yes, you do have nice eyes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My siblings are socially awkward, shy, self-doubting people. And I, again, my mother was very controlling. My mom still, you know, I asked my brother to help me move some furniture straight up texted my brother, and in that afternoon, my mom texted me, and she was like, "Why do you need a truck?" I was like, "I'm moving a piece of furniture. Why are you even involved? How did you even get pulled in on this?" So I texted my brother. I go, "If you can't do it, let me know." And he was like, "I'm going to see in an hour. I'm in." I'm like, "Because mom is asking me why I need a truck." You know what I mean? Like, we're in our 40s now. It's like, lady, mind your goddamn business.
So yeah, was, but like, the moms are always like that, bro.
No, I mean, of course they are. It's annoying. It's annoying, and it's weird just to if Vin, if you ever meet my siblings, I swear to God, dude, you'll be like, you must be adopted.
So it's the opposite with me and my sister. So my sister and I, if you get us in a room together, like, it's getting shut down, right? My sister is very much, love my sister to death, but she's very over the top, like jazz fingers for fucking the rest of her life. Like, if she could live in a fucking musical, it's her. Like she had like a fucking, you're just having pizza, it's a gown, and if she could sing talk, she would do it all fucking night, right? But also it's a lot of it, you know, I know from her end, she really built herself up on her own, right? It was a different type of raising with my sister that they had with me. They were very much more strict on top of me, a lot more. She had to learn a lot differently. And she's 40 now, and she's just gotten into her own. Like, just, you can see it. She's wearing herself now. She's comfortable with who she is. But it's, you know, we had to have those conversations with ourselves. So, like, for me now, the way I deal with my self-critic, and it's not, and it is a self-doubt to a point, but I can acknowledge that doubt, and I can have that conversation with myself. Well, I could go do this, and this is why. Like, before, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do it because I'm probably going to fail because X, Y, and Z. But now it's acknowledging what your self-critic is or who it is, why you're having that conversation, and flipping the perspective. So now it's okay. And I feel it, like even in my, I've been practicing law for 18 years, and I probably hit my groove 15 years ago. And that's what I tell people, like, you don't know when you're going to hit it, but you got to be able to say, hey, it's okay for me to do it my way. Right. And I think I spent most of my life trying to figure out what my way was. And that's what created that like really bad mind frame of being super critical of myself. You know, but now I almost enjoy it. It's almost like a game for me, right? Like, I get excited when I realize, when I feel it coming on, when I feel my anxiety or getting ahead of myself, and it's like, okay, I know it's there now. So how am I going to control it? How am I going to use it for myself? And I think I had to learn that at a young age, but I didn't, I always knew like it was there. I just didn't know how to approach it. I didn't know how to attack it. I didn't know how to use it. I didn't have the tools to use it. So, you know, now it's a good part of me. The self-critic aspect, people are like, don't be so critical. You're going to be so hard on yourself. Right. But if you're too easy on yourself, then you're like, I'm going to be complacent. So there's got to be a sweet spot, right? To allow yourself some grace for the mistake, right? You know, but also allow yourself that nudge to do what you think you need to do. So a couple of things I was doing, especially like through the pandemic, through the divorce, the things like that. Mel Robbins, I don't know if you know who she is, but she does like a lot of self-help books. She's a pretty good follow, but she has this high five method. So you wake up in the morning and you high five yourself, right? And it's kind of weird, right? Like, I saw the eyebrows go up and you're big blue eyes just stared into the camera. And I got lost. Right. You're gonna have to wear sunglasses from now on. I can't even fucking camera look in that. Man, lost my train of thought. But the high five habit, I'm gonna high five you on your forehead when I fucking see you, dude. Whack. But it's the concept is, I mean, you don't need it because you congratulate yourself all the time because you're just a beautiful human being, right? There it is. But we're so quick to high five everybody for anything they do, right? Like any type of small accomplishment, you fucking walk by, high five, great fucking work. You know, you got a blue pen for me instead of the black ones. You know, I love blue pens, fucking high five, but we never high five ourselves. You never congratulate yourself for fucking anything, right? I get up at 4 a.m. That's something to congratulate, right? I get up at 4 a.m. I go to the gym every day. Like I do things that like a lot of people aren't doing, but it's just another part of my fucking day. It's nothing special, right? Like I didn't do anything special. Right. But if you just sat there and took 5 seconds and congratulate yourself in the mirror and be like, hey, you know what? You got up on time. You didn't hit that snooze button. And it looks weird, but like I'm telling you, if you do it, like you're going to notice a shift in how you think about yourself and how your day goes, because now you have someone in your corner, right? You're not looking for that party to sit there and say, hey, you know, take notice of you, right? Like we all got jobs. I'm lucky enough to be self-employed, but yes, I like when people say, hey, Vin, you did a great job. You know, great work. You really helped me out, but you're always constantly searching for that acknowledgement. But when your acknowledgement could be right fucking there, right? Like, yeah, like it's sitting with you in the fucking car, right? Hey, I had a great show. I did all my edits today, right? Fuck it. I made my bed this morning. I put my dishes in the dishwasher, like just dumb shit. But like, if you start congratulating yourself for the dumb shit, right, or what you perceive to be dumb shit, like imagine when you actually really accomplish something. Like the biggest cheerleader should be yourself, and it's just it's a simple fucking fix. It's free. It doesn't cost any fucking money, and you do in the morning when no one's watching. Like you don't want to walk being a TJ Maxx and see a fucking mirror and start fucking high fiving your other. Call 911, bro. You got 2-fucking-1-1. On the phone, like ain't no way. But I think it's a simple concept. I read the whole book. It's called The High Five Habit. And it sounds crazy, but yeah, I think it helps.
Can I tell you why I reacted with my face to the high five method? I earlier today was telling somebody a story. Humble brag, if you don't mind, I'll take a slice of that pie.
Shocked, from earlier. I'm fucking shocked.
I had the number one rated morning show in Connecticut for 8 consecutive ratings periods from 2014 to 2016. And my boss hated my guts. My head boss didn't like me. And I didn't treat him well. I wasn't nice to him. And I knew he wasn't going to fire me because I was number one. Can't fire me. This guy had an ego problem. And so one day he walks down the hallway and he's high-fiving the morning show from Kiss 95.7 and Rob Dibble from ESPN Radio. And then he walks past me, Vin, and he puts his hand up and I do not return the five. I left him hanging. And as he walks by, he looks back at me. This is the head of the cut. He's actually the vice president of the whole Northeast, as a matter of fact. I said, I don't high five for bullshit. Home runs, touchdowns, dunks. That's all you get a high five for from me.
The trifecta. All it is home runs, touchdowns, and dunks.
That's why you high five somebody. We can't be high fiving high. I said, I shake hands because I'm a man.
What happened with your kid? Your kid fucking jumped over a crack in the sidewalk. I'm like, yo, dad, fuck, get out of here. Come charge your dad when you're fucking dunked, dude.
Now, this guy eventually fired me. 4 months after I left him hanging on the high five, we were at a client dinner. And I was sitting with my female co-host. And he walks over to her. He sits down in front of us. And he goes, so 4 months later, he goes, you know, your buddy here doesn't high five. 4 months later, and it's like, oh, dude, that's still stinging?
Yeah, dude. Yes. It's fucking, it's one of the most embarrassing fucking things you can do to a human being.
That, can I like, seal my fate that day?
Yes. Like, that is fucking horrible, bro. Like, the only thing worse than that is fucking Will Smith is smacking Chris Rock. Like, an open hand smack to the face. Ooh. And no high five, bro. Like, that is atrocious. They're atrocious.
I
horrible.
Don't think everything deserves a high five.
Why? Like, I guess my question is, I mean, and that may work for you, right? But like, why is, I mean, you can, but what may not rise to a level of high five for you may be different for somebody else, right?
No, I totally listen. I mean, I have, I believe, exceptionally high five standards.
Yeah, but then, so you don't even meet your own high five standards. Because you're not going to throw a touchdown. You're not hitting a home run. And there's zero fucking shot. You're dunking a ball.
All right.
And we'll go back to home run, bro, because we will find a field right now. If you're hitting a home run, I will stare into those baby blue eyes for an hour straight without blinking.
So let me tell you a little something about me.
You're not 18 anymore. You're not 18 anymore, bro. You're 48. I don't want to hear it.
I play in a wiffle ball league in Meriden, April to July, Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
I live stream all of it. Mm-hmm. And for your information, league MVP, I hit bombs.
It's fucking wiffle ball, bro. That ain't counting.
Oh, I'm not counting.
I am not high-fiving you for a wiffle ball.
Bro, wiffle ball.
No shot. No shot.
Then a home run is a home run. A home run.
No, that's a home run.
And inside the park home run, where they throw it around the infield and you score, that gets a high five. It's a home run. It counts.
You are wildly inappropriate, young man. This is. You're about to be taken off the air. Don't mind my friend, okay? Just remember the high five habit. Now someone's gonna be out here and be like, I really wanted to try that habit. But then I was brushing my teeth. I was like, I didn't score a touchdown today. I didn't fucking dunk a ball. And I didn't get a home run. And so no one's ever going to high five again. You fucking ruined the high five. We could have led with this. You could have told me off the air, like, hey, if you saw my fucking notes, bro. You saw the high five method on here. And you know what you did? You left me fucking hanging. You left me hanging, bro. It's unbelievable. Goddamn believable. This is just. Well, sorry, I try to give some good like life tips today to help out, but
I don't mean to undermine the high five method. Maybe it doesn't.
I mean, you like. It wasn't even undermined, bro. Like you just took a shit down my neck.
Couldn't it be like a the handshake bro hug
with yourself?
Sure.
And you're chest bump yourself. You know how many mirrors you're gonna break in your fucking house.
All right, suppose you high five yourself.
It's all right. I'll recover on the next episode. I'll find some more helpful tips to help our listeners get through the day.
I will do what I can to undermine that completely.
Yes. Yes, no, I like the dichotomy we have here, right? I feel like shit half the time about myself, and this guy is an Adonis. Like this guy right here.
I had a breakthrough tonight about how awesome I am, dude. Thank you.
You did.
Thank you for helping me see what my mom's been telling me for 40 years.
The light that was radiating off your face, like, it was, I mean, it was impressive, dude. It was just, it was nice. Now I'm feeling more bad about myself because I don't feel like Joey. So perfect. Thank you.
High five.
High five. Yeah. So that was my spiel in a nutshell. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, So I hope most of you are like our friend Joe over here and you don't got to worry about shit. You got great eyes, beautiful face, and your mom showered you with compliments for your whole entire life. But for the rest of us, you know, switch the language. You know, don't say I am lazy. It's I'm feeling lazy. There's a feeling behind it. He's still laughing. So we're going to have a serious conversation the next podcast. Jesus, man, that's too much. But yes, so that is my wish for everybody to be more like Joe. Bottom line, that might be my new book. I might write a book.
Be more like Joe.
Right. Yeah. Fucking catchy. Think it might sell.
My wife's been telling me I need a therapist, and all I really needed was a podcast.
Yeah.
With you.
Change of plans, dude. We switched it up.
ChangeOfPlansCT.com. That is the website.
Appreciate it.
Make sure you check that out. That's going to do it for episode 4. I hope you learned a little something. And again, hopefully we raised your high five standards a bit as well. For Vin Provenzano, I'm Joe Aguirre.
You're leaving me hanging. You left me hanging again.